let's start with some parsha, because it is Thursday. Harshas ki savo. So we read about bikurim in this week's parsha. So a farmer brings his bikurim, and the Torah tells us, "Va'amarte elav, gadati ayom la'Hashem elokecha, ki vasi la'aretz asher nishba Hashem lavaseinu la'aseis lanu." That I told you that I've come to this holy land which Hashem had promised us. So then the Kohen takes the basket, and then there's a second recital. It's an interesting procedure. But there's one word that seems completely out of place, and that is the word vihigadati. What is he referring to when he says vihigadati ayom? Vihigadati ayom means he's referring back to something that he said, right? It's past tense that I have already stated something. What has he already stated that he's arrived in Eretz Yisrael? We don't have like a clear declaration that comes before this declaration that he would be referring back to. So that's a little bit odd to figure out what the word vihigadati is all about. And then the Torah gives us a quick review of the chiyuvim of Maisos, and reminds us that in years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, you give Maisor Ani. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, it's Maisor Sheni. The Azayin L'Torah, Zalman Sorotkin, just points out that that's also a little bit strange, meaning of the two values, meaning taking care of Ani and having a really great time in Yerushalayim with delicious food, you would think that Maisor Ani would be a more dominant value in Judaism than Maisor Sheni. Maisor Sheni, you get to eat your own food, you just have to do it in Yerushalayim. It means like, you know, you go out to nice restaurants in Yerushalayim, or you have a really amazing salad as soon as you get to Yerushalayim, or a delicious meal. When you get to Yerushalayim, you would think that the value of Maisor Ani would be, I don't know, twice the value of Maisor Sheni, but yet it's the opposite. Maisor Sheni is in 4 out of the 6 years, and Maisor Ani is only in 2 out of the 6 years. So the Asayim Latar is bothered by, like, what kind of statement is that? The Torah tells us that, you know, there are going to be some Maisor Ani years, some Maisor Sheni years, and there are going to be more Maisor Sheni years than there are Maisor Ani years. And then a third question. Rashi writes on the Pasuk of Vidai Maisos, you know, when it says, Lo avarti mimitzasecha v'lo shachachti, so Rashi writes, Lo avarti mimitzasecha means that I've observed all the halachas of Maisos, and lo shachachti milivarechecha alef rashos Maisos, that I didn't forget to say birchas ha-mitzvah when I was mafrish trumas ha-maisos. Now, Rashi is very well aware that that can't be the simple pshat in the pasuk, because we don't have birchas ha-mitzvos midaraisa, right? All we have is birchas ha-mazon midaraisa and birchas ha-torah midaraisa. Birchas ha-mitzvos generally are not midaraisa. So what exactly is Rashi trying to tell us, or the Chazal that Rashi is quoting trying to tell us, when brachos, with just two exceptions, are known to only be midrabanan? How could it be that the Torah is referring to a person's care in reciting brachos if the entire concept wasn't invented yet on a daraisa level? So again, three questions. Higadati ayom Hashem elokecha. What do you mean higadati? When was higadati? Second, why is Maisor Sheni apparently valued more than Maisor Ani? The Aznaim Latorah asks to the extent that we do it twice as frequently as Maisor Ani. And third, what is this about Lo Shechachti Mila Varechecha at the time of Hafrash Shumas HaMaisos? So it doesn't seem that that's a din da'oraisa. So there is an idea that is developed by the Malbim that can help us answer all of these questions. The Malbim explains that when a person takes his Bikurim, and he marches up to the Beis HaMikdash with these first fruits to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, that action itself is a declaration that he recognizes that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Higadati ayom means, says the Malbim, pirsamti. I've made it very clearly known. I've been unequivocal in my statements about what I think about how strongly I feel about this. I recognize that Hashem controls the world by fully engaging in this mitzvah, because here is a mitzvah that I put a lot of effort into growing this produce. I've done a lot of work over an extended period of time by the sweat of my brow, and I finally am able to see the peros. I'm finally able to see something come out of it, and you know what? It goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I didn't just bring these fruits begrudgingly. I didn't do it just to be Yetzer Zayin. I participated in this elaborate parade going to celebrate the bringing of these fruits, and that's a statement. Not a statement with words, but it's a statement with actions, and actions speak louder than words. That this is that I believe the Ribbono Shel Olam controls the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and these fruits rightfully belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm willing to make a parade out of it, to make a huge statement out of it, that these fruits belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam, do not belong to me. The Yismach Moshe in Parshas Baaloscha discusses the language of Uvasa El HaKohen. You know, sunset in the Lashon of the Gemara, in the Gemara Brachos, is referred to as Bias HaShemesh, of Bias Shemesh. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Sadiala says, Lama Shukas B'mariv, why does the sun set in the west? Litein Shalom Lakona, is a way of greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if the sun is coming toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the west is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, so the sun is arriving at the king's palace as if to say, I've done what I have to do. I fulfilled my tafkid for today. Uva Hashemesh is that the sun is greeting Hashem. The Gadi Hayom Hashem Elokecha Kivasi El Haaretz. The phrase Kivasi El Haaretz doesn't mean just that I physically arrived, but I've come Litein Shalom Lakoni. I've come to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fully engage with Hashem. The declaration is that I've come in a way that makes it evident that everything I do is for the Ribbono Shel Olam, that I've come to be fully engaged. So it's Higadati. What's the Higadati? I've made a public, clear declaration, Kivasi, that I'm here to fully engage with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm here to be completely mindful and completely on task with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Reisman pointed out in his Parsha Shir, I think last year, that in the Hebrew language there are two words that mean to tell, right? Sipur and Haggadah. Right, Vayomer is to say, right, and the Lashon of L'saper is to tell, and Lahagid is also to tell. So that's where, you know, you run into trouble with translations into English. The Hebrew language is very, very rich. You have words that mean multiple things, and very often those multiple things are very much connected with each other. Just had a chasna the other night, someone came over to me and said that he remembers the word I said about chibur and chaver and charav, and like, meaning everything is connected somehow. All the different meanings of words are connected. I remember when I was Bachar in Yeshiva in Karen Biavne, so I used to go very often to my aunt and uncle, my aunt Allah Shalom and Ibad al Chaim Aruch, my uncle, for Shabbos. And I remember one of the little children was saying that he went to the Sakar, he went to get a haircut that week, and the child was speaking in Hebrew. So he said, Ma'asa ha-saper. So the child said, Hu siperli. So my uncle said, Eze sipur hu siperlicha. So, you know, what story did he tell you? He said, Lolo, Hu siperli. Avanti, is this sipur? Apparently, he was just driving the kid nuts, and the kid going in circles about this. But the words in Hebrew sometimes mean multiple things, and sometimes you have two words that sound like they mean the same thing, but they never actually mean exactly the same thing. There's always some nuance of difference. I was just asked to edit a halacha article that someone was writing for some publication, and he was quoting the Gemara in Erevin about Noach Laladim Shenivra Mishalonivra, that it's better for a person never to have been born. So the person didn't write the Gemara in the Gemara where he translated. So he said that it is more good for a person to have it is better, it is more good, or good, some sort of lashon. So it's difficult to know that that's the translation. It doesn't say Tov Laladim Shalom. This is Noach lo la'adam Shalom. If I recall, some of the Achronim make a big deal about that it would have been easier, maybe easier, not to face the challenges of this world. But Asher Shenivri, Asher Shemaisav, or whatever else, it's not so clear. It's very, translation is hard. It's very hard to work on translation of terms in Tanakh. And this is what the whole Sefer Malbim is about, basically. The Malbim on the Torah, on Tanakh, is always doing that. He's always just taking two words that sound like they mean the same thing and explaining why they mean different things. So there are no two exact synonyms in the Hebrew language. Each word conveys a nuance of meaning that the other does not. So, lahagid and lesaper. Haggadah means to say something new. Lesaper is to tell something that already was. When we do the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we also do Haggadah. We say the same text, right? We do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we say the same text that's been recited for generations, and therefore it's a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we also make sure to do Haggadah, to add a Chiddush, right? And Kol Amar Bar Reza Meshubach, So to turn the sipur into a Haggadah, the farmer says he gadeti ayom because his actions speak volumes of his dedication to and his recognition of Hashem. That's not a mere sipur. That's by saying that I'm not just going through the motions. I am fully engaged in the Hava Aspikurim. He's done a Haggadah, adding a layer of depth to the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Babich Rebbe Zichron Levracha adds along similar lines. The Gemara Kiddushin Daf Lamed Zayin tells us that we only bring Bikurim after Kibush V'Chiluk Ha'aretz, right? Once the land is fully conquered and settled, not just when we set foot in the land. You would think as soon as you set foot in the land, as soon as you know, you're able to get some produce going, so then you would already have to Bikurim. No, because it is aligned with the concept of Bia B'mitzas Lo Shema Bia, partially entering the land. That's not really entering the land. The Torah requires we bring Bikurim Kisavo El Ha'aretz, when there's a full entrance into Eretz Yisrael, when we're totally engaged, when we're totally settled. If we're still trying to figure out how to get our Wi-Fi connected, and we haven't yet been able to, you know, to enroll our kids in school in Israel, and you know, and then and the lift hasn't arrived, and you know, the electric company, you know, we're still working on that kind of stuff. We're not fully there yet. We haven't fully arrived. We're not ready to bring the Bikurim. We're too scattered. Bikurim requires full, total engagement. And that's the Higadati of Bikurim. Higadati, I've made a statement that, Basi, I've come and I'm fully engaged, and I come with the full recognition that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And that answers all of the other questions as well. Not just on the Higadati. The purpose of Maaser Sheni is not just so you can enjoy a good dinner in Yerushalayim. It's to afford us the experience of being surrounded by an atmosphere of Kedusha. It's having that immersive experience. That's what Tosos writes explicitly in Bav Basra Daf Chafalof, when Tosos describes the value of learning Torah, specifically in Yerushalayim. Tosos writes, Lifi Shayaroa Kedusha Gedola, the Kohanim Oskim Bavoda, Hayim Chuvan Libo Yoser Lir Shamayim. When a person sees great Kedusha, he sees Kohanim in Avoda, so he's more focused on Yerushalayim. V'lil mo Torah, K'darshin b'sifri l'mantil l'vira, Gadol Maaser Sheni Shemevi l'day Talmud. The Maaser Sheni brings a person to a greater level of Torah learning. L'vishaya omeid b'Yerushalayim et sheyochel Maaser Sheni shalo, v'yaroa shekulam oskim b'mlech shamayim. You stay in Yerushalayim and you see what goes on in Yerushalayim. You see the Avoda of Yerushalayim. You see, Kohanim engaged in Avoda in Melech Shemayim and Avoda. That will encourage a person in that kind of environment to be Osik in Torah. The purpose of Maaser Sheni was to enhance Yerush Shemayim by being fully surrounded by and fully engaged in Kedusha. And that's even more important than Maaser Ani, because if a person can maintain a sense of passion in his Yiddishkeit, a sense of full experience, full immersion in his mitzvos, then his tzedakah is going to be better also. His Maaser Ani is going to be better also. Everything he does is going to be a more fully immersive experience. The Ritva explains the function of a Birchas HaMitzvah is to demonstrate that we're doing the mitzvah in a mindful way. That the mitzvah is not just being done kila achar yad. It's not, you know, Rabbi Kamenetsky used to have to say, it's not done in a chaplap way, right? You know, just get the mitzvah out of the way. We're doing the mitzvah in a mindful way. We're not just, you know, pottering ourselves. We're actively involved and engaged in the mitzvah. When we say vidur maestros, we say lo shachachti milvarechecha, not necessarily in the conventional sense of a birchas mitzvah, but in doing a mitzvah in a way that the bracha is meant to accomplish for that mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah in that same way. What the bracha is meant to accomplish is to be fully engaged, fully immersed, fully mindful. Well, I'm doing this mitzvah in that way. When we're mindful in how we daven, you know, we wouldn't forget, did we say yalav yavo or not? Rabbi Reisman pointed out that it's a pella that that Sfardim have a din that if they forget Hamelech Hamishpat, that they have to repeat Shmona Esrei. For Ashkenazim, we don't have such a din. So it's a pella. How does a Sfardi survive, right? Who can stay focused all the way to that bracha? Hamelech HaKadosh B'koshi, right? I can stay focused until I get to Hamelech HaKadosh. Are you going to stay focused enough to remember that? That it's like a Nes Nigla that, you know, that people aren't just on a constant loop of repeating Shmona Esrei, you know, in Sfardi shuls. But if a person is really engaged, Rav Shachter never understood like why there's so much talk in Poskim about forgetting Yalav Yavo and forget. How do you forget? I mean, he was bothered by the discussion. If you don't remember whether you said Yalav Yavo, What do you mean you don't remember what you said? You were talking to the Ribbono Shalom. Did you say it to him or did you not say it to him? You just had the conversation with the Ribbono Shalom. How do you not remember? Like, it's, you know, to us, it's hard to understand how he can't understand that a person doesn't remember whether he said Yalga, but he doesn't understand. Like, how could it? Because if a person is fully engaged, if a person's avodas hatfila is such that he's there, when he's davening, he's there, he's talking to the Ribbono Shalom, so then it becomes very hard to understand. How could you not know whether you said Yalav Yavo? Very often people try to be very efficient in the way they live their lives. And this carries over to Shemir Samitzvah sometimes also. You know, kill two birds with one stone, multitask, do as many things at one time as you can, which there's no such thing as multitasking. I mean, if you're doing many things at one time, then you're doing nothing, or nothing particularly well. You know, I often think about that in that, like myself, you know, like I think like I could have been like a pretty good rabbi, and I probably could have been a pretty good shul rabbi. Probably, you know, and pretty good father, probably I could have been also. But, you know, like, to have everything all at one time, you know, you end up not doing anything well. You know, you ever been on a Zoom meeting? Zoom meetings were like gewaldic when we discovered Zoom, until we discovered you can open like 18 windows on your computer at the same time that you're on a Zoom. I got a text yesterday from a kid in a college class, not in this university, in a different university, one that advertised that they are now a university, and he said that he was on a Zoom class, and there are 18 kids on the class, 12 cameras were off. The six that were there were all asking the shayla, can they also shut their cameras off? He said, it's an old professor, he's not going to know the difference, he's just going to keep on talking, no one's listening anyway, right? And like, that's the metzius of Zoom now, right? You're on meetings, and it's like, until you're called on, you know, it's just, you're not in one place when you're checking your emails and your WhatsApps and a little social media on the site. You know, the mitzvahs are supposed to be done with full engagement. The principle of osig mitzvah patim mitzvah teaches us that we don't multitask mitzvahs. Einos mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Each mitzvah gets its own individual attention. Sukkah daf mem vav. You say a separate bracha on each mitzvah because kol mitzvah mitzvah tein lo me'in berchosav. Every mitzvah needs its own focus. It needs its own full engagement. A bar mitzvah is not called a bar mitzvos, even though he's now obligated in 613 mitzvahs. Why do we call him a bar mitzvah? Many nice shtiklach Torah about that, but maybe one idea is to tell him that message. Yeah, there are 613 of them, but one at a time. When you're engaged in one mitzvah, it's that mitzvah. That mitzvah should become your whole world. Similar to interpersonal relationships. When you talk to people, the Gemara says, I think it's in Tainus, where the Gemara, in a couple of places, the Gemara says, b'maharach to yamin. So Shabbos Kufitas, I think also b'me'arachti, where they ask different people, like what you did that you were zochet to Arichus Yamin. So one of the Tanaim said that one of his tricks was lo pasati al Rashi Am Kodesh, that I didn't step over the Rashi Am Kodesh. So one of the Darshanim of Yosef Mechani Kornitzer says, it means I wasn't always looking to go past that person that I was with to the next one. You know, you ever been at a simcha, you're talking to someone, look around the room, see if there's a better conversation to be had. You know? Like, oh, I had a shayla for Rav Shachter. Maybe I'll get away from this person and get to Rav Shachter. Like, you're with a person. You're with that person, and you're talking to that person, fully engaged. Chodesh Elul, maybe that should be a particularly resonant message in Chodesh Elul. I think I mentioned to you guys already. I was this past summer. I was talking to the Madrid Chaim and the NCSY Kollel. And the topic of the talk they wanted me to give was Eitzes and how to become a Talmud Chacham. I have to tell you all the things I didn't do, right? So Eitzes and how to become a Talmud Chacham. So someone called me up, a good friend of mine called me up afterwards. He said, you missed the biggest Eitzah, that no one ever became a Talmud Chacham with a smartphone on him. Meaning, you put it away. It goes somewhere else. You can't be a Talmud Chacham if you're torn, if you're constantly looking at something else. Even if it's off, even it, you just can't become a Talmud Chacham that way. Can you really say basi ala aretz, that you're fully present? You know, just like with other people. You know, if you're trying to connect with your wife, you try. I guess we'll do the shalom bayis vad later. But you can't if you're also answering your WhatsApps. If you're also, it's not shayich at the dinner table. Chassanim often ask, you know, when we discuss harchakos, you know, they want to put a hacker on the table. So what's a good hacker? Something that wouldn't normally be on the table. So can I put my phone on the table? Put your phone on the table. What's your phone doing in the room when you're having dinner with your wife? The phone should not be the hacker. That's something else. Be the hacker. So our tshuva, the tikkunim we have to make, and this is always a good etzah, and I'm sure I've shared it with you many times already. We often focus on like, what can we do new, what can we do different, but probably the better way to focus tshuva and the better chance of success is to take the things that we do and do them better. And one of the ways that we do things better is just by being more engaged, by being more mindful. Like when we do things, whatever mitzvah it may be, benam l'chaver, benam l'makom, is to remove every other thing from the picture while we're doing that one thing, to be more zoned in and more focused on our avodas Hashem. Okay.